And I'm Susan Jones, I'm the minister here at St Andrews, and I'm going to ask our three speakers to come over here and we'll get them to talk with each other for a bit, and then we'll ask you to talk with each other for a bit and see what happens now. St Andrews Study Trust has wanted in the present and near future to be asking always at the end of our presentation, so what now? Rather than having you listen to a lecture and stuff you full of information and send you out there with perhaps no ideas about what you're going to do with it, we're asking you that question, what now? So have that in your head. We've had some good clues already from the speakers. So my first question is, as you listen to each other, what did you see as some of the strong resonances coming through? I know what I think, but listening from your point of view to the others, where did you see the reinforcements and the similarities, which I think give hope for the future that if you're all working in the same area in different ways, it's going to reinforce? What did you see?
Whakatauki that came to my mind is the he waka eke noa, which is we are all in the canoe together, we're all in the same waka, and I think that was quite a strong theme across what we were all talking about and how we have this shared desire for a fairer, more flourishing Aotearoa. And I actually think we probably don't get the opportunity to talk about that enough, and I think it was one of the things I noticed that you said is that I know it sounds mushy, which is kind of we always feel the need to precursor the things that we truly feel in our hearts as being, oh yeah, but I know that's mushy. And I actually really appreciate the spaces where it's okay to say that and other people were like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree that kind of the strong theme was that we have to work together, because we do often make like artificial distinctions between the unions or the churches and the racial justice movement, which I think at the end of the day just isn't very productive. But I think the other kind of thing that I noticed was sort of the urgency of it. Like, we need to act now, we need to act together now.
I actually nearly put he waka on the slide as my last, because it's so true. It really is. We're all here together and we need to all work together, and that was a key thing. And the other thing that was really strong for me was the power of story. We're story creatures. We run on narrativium, as Terry Pratchett put it. So we need to make a new story, and that was really strong. The stories are how we make change.
What I thought were resonances listening to you was the very strong valuing of Māori, te reo, and the bicultural platform on which we operate. I noticed that was a commonality between the three of you. Also, because you are a younger generation than I am, and perhaps some people here, your emphasis on working with your cohort, with your generation, and having an effect there came across really strongly for me. And the other one was, you all show a really good background in analysing what's going on and where are the entry points that will have short-term effects and long-term effects, and what's going on here and where's the power, that kind of analysis. I could see how that directs your work and will make it far more effective. So your task, people, lovely people that came on such a wet day, I've given a lecture here on a wet day too, and it's challenging to get here. Thank you for coming. How about you, some of you might need to move. How about you find one other person to talk to and talk together about what amongst what you heard do you kind of latch onto or resonate with the most, which kind of, because our speakers have given us a lot of what nows, what we could do now. So if a couple of you talk about what you think, what appeals to you as a way forward into the future to make a new story, and then we'll ask some of you to let us know what you thought that was. Well, our speakers are having a great discussion over there. It's really interesting. So how are people going here? Is there anyone who would be prepared to say what particular things struck them as a way forward that's going to, you know, get some traction and change for the future?
I'm really interested in how we can all work together. So it was how we can all work together. So it was great to have perspective from people in, is it Gen Y and Gen Z or millennials? But I'm really interested personally in how we can all work together and what my skills could bring. So I'd love to hear what the three have to say about that.
Well, they were just talking about that too. Are there any other peers that came up with a similar thing like that? Yep. Let's hear from them first before we put it back to the speakers.
probably just agreed about that intergenerational thing, because we've got people here who've got grandsons who are playing with robotics. We were very taken with your ability to talk from your hearts and to articulate feelings, thought that was good, but also there's a lot of people of different ages in the room and everyone's got lots to contribute. How do we forge that kind of a movement going forward too?
So not only working together, but working intergenerationally, what's the reaction of the speakers?
Action Station's membership is pretty diverse in terms of age and also in terms of political party affiliation. So we've recently done some surveying of our members, and we have the same percentage of New Zealand First voters as that who vote in the country. Very high percentage of Greens and Labour voters, as one would expect. Same percentage for Mana Māori, same percentage of people who voted Internet Party last time, and actually a really high percentage of people who are non-voters, so don't vote at all, and see Action Station as a vehicle for making change outside of kind of, I guess, party politics. And only about 16% of people voted for National in the Action Station, so that certainly doesn't reflect the population. Absolutely, our work is about connecting people across the different generations and focusing on our shared values and our shared desires for a better country and world. But one of the interesting tensions in that is that it is usually the people who are over 55, say, who give us donations on a regular basis, but it is people who are under 30, let's say, who come to our skills trainings. And there's this kind of interesting divide in the way that people tend to give to the organisation and to the mission. And I don't have like a clear answer about how we start building more bridges in those different worlds. It's something that I've noticed, is that depending on where you are in your life, depending on what your income level is and those sorts of things, you can give in different ways. And it's just about, from my point of view, trying to listen as much as possible. And the way that we listen is through our email inbox, through our Facebook Messenger, through forums like this where I get to talk to people afterwards. How can we best create opportunities for you to give, rather than me trying to brainstorm away in my little room, at my little computer, oh, how do I think that they're going to be able to contribute? We actually need people to tell us, how can we be of service to you so that we can build the container around that?
To answer the first question, I think one practical and easy thing everyone could do is actually join a union and get active in the workplace and get active in the community. And kind of from there, you can sort of build, I guess to use the union term, solidarity across generations. And if you were to look at it, I guess from a Māori point of view, is probably the easiest way to conceptualise it, because we often, people in activist circles sometimes say that it's more important to listen to young people because they've got longer lives to lead, and some are not for this earth for much longer. But I actually think that's a really bad way to look at it. And if we looked at it from a Māori point of view, from a tikanga point of view, that idea isn't valid, and instead you have to look at other generations in terms of whakapapa, so in terms of your connection to each other. So you're not simply an individual with a long life to lead, you're an individual with obligations to people who are older than you and to people who are younger than you as well. So I think that's a really good way, and a really simple way as well. You know, it's not like complex, hocus-pocus sort of stuff. It's just a really easy way to look at things. I have an obligation to this person and I have an obligation to that person. Yeah.
I would also say that every single one of us is connected into community. So just start where you are. Just start with the people that you know. Start with the young people you know. Start with the older people you know. Just connect into the community in ways that you can connect, because what it really is going to take is lots of little actions, lots of little bits of kindness. So it's being kind to that person at the bus stop. It's literally supporting that young person if you know them, giving them a little bit of a hand up or an introduction or something like that. And one of the things actually that I'm doing right now for myself as a way to do something active and concrete is I'm volunteering to help set up the refugee houses every 2 months when they come in. There are lots of little things that we all do in our communities, and it's just really important about connecting to other people and respecting, you know, you don't have to save the world by yourself. You can just do a little bit that's going to help someone else, and we're just all going to slowly kind of lift up everyone together.
What were other peers talking about in their conversations?
Yes, we were also talking about the intergenerational areas. And I suppose the question was, we who are beyond the baby boomers even, are we the enemies and the stonewallers, or are we the encouragers? And also, are we the encouragers within our own groups who, because we work within groups where there are stonewallers and where there are people who see young people as flighty and off the edge and so on. And so there is a task for us to do, both within our own generations and also in our encouragement.
Anyone else talking in a way that resonated with that? Do you want them to respond about the role of the quiet, loyal generation? Who's got experience with the quiet, loyal generation?
Yes, I can comment on that, on the tension between generations. So right now in the workforce, we've actually got five different generations. And so beyond the baby boomers, they call it the builders. And what I would see is the role of the people who are the baby boomers and the builders. You have a massive, you're sitting on a massive intergenerational pot of wealth, of resources, of ways to help. So your biggest job is to facilitate that intergenerational transfer in a way that has equality. And your second biggest job is to facilitate the leadership skills that the young people and the creativity from your experience that are going to come down to those young people. So if you're working with young people and you're a boomer or you're a builder, or you have them in your community, your role is about helping them to grow into a leadership position and about encouraging them for that leadership position, and also to help maybe whether it's funding small community projects through Rotary or something else like that, whether it's other ways to support grassroots organisations, supporting young people directly through mentoring programs, teaching a young person to drive, for example. These are all small ways, even if it's just being an advocate for young people in your community and with people your age, just about helping support young people and helping that intergenerational transfer of wealth happen, because that's a really big systemic issue that we're facing. It's people at the top have got, the older people have a lot of wealth tied up in houses and things like that, and it's really, really hard for young people at the housing level. The buy a house story doesn't work anymore, and so young people feel incredibly bereft about that because they were promised it and they don't have it. So yeah, those are several ways I would say differently. We need the support of everybody at every level.
So outside of Action Station, I helped co-found an organisation called Rock and Roll, which is focusing on getting young people to vote by combining community organising and music. One of the main challenges that we faced in Rock and Roll was challenging the prevailing narrative that young people are apathetic and that's why they don't vote. And it just becomes one of those myths that people have heard so often that they just repeat over and over again because it makes a nice soundbite. One of the big goals for us was to actively challenge that narrative in the media by being young people who weren't apathetic, who were turning up to vote, and who were organising other young people to get out and do that as well. One of the reframes that we tried to do was that we put the onus on the political system for rejecting young people and ignoring the views of young people rather than young people being apathetic to the views of the political system. So there's this thing called the cycle of mutual neglect in academic terms, and it's basically like politicians' job is to try and get elected. That is their number one mission, right? To try and get elected. And that means they're going to write policies for and speak to the median voter. And the median voter is middle-aged, homeowning Pākehā. And so they write policies for those people, they speak for those people, and a young person sees that and is like, I don't see anything in that for me. None of what you're saying is relevant to my life. I'm not going to vote. And that cycle continues. And so the story that we were trying to tell, and I would love for more people to tell this story, was that that's not young people's fault. That is politicians' fault. And really put the onus on the political system much, much more. One other thing that I did want to mention is that when it comes to the youth vote, it did actually go up last time from 42% to 49%. And I like to think Rock and Roll helped with that. But we never tell that story. And that was the first time it's gone up in 25 years. I would love for that story to get out there a bit more as well.
Can I just briefly add, I'm sick and tired of hearing baby boomers being vilified, because I think it's a total distraction to say that it's about baby boomers versus millennials. It's actually about people who were in power, whether they're baby boomers or Gen Y or Gen X or whoever. So it's about people in power who make the decision to underfund the health system by $1.8 billion, which impacts not the people in the middle, it impacts the youngest and the oldest most. So it's not about millennials versus baby boomers at all. It's about the people who are in power, regardless of age, and the decisions that they make. So it's become a really sort of easy thing to say, oh, baby boomers, bloody ripping off the young and selfish, which I think just distracts people from the decisions that are actually being made.
I'm thinking uncomfortably back to a work situation where I was the baby boomer and I was working with a Gen X. I now understand it so much better after today. I'm going to ask for kind of a couple of, just go round the pairs and just say out loud what area you were discussing, because we're now up to 10 to 2. But let's kind of get a little sampling of what areas were the ones that were interesting to you. So what did you two talk about? Right, women's experience of work and children in poverty. Yeah, that interregnum word. The old is passing away and the new hasn't quite come yet, and there's a big change in the middle. What did you guys... Yes. They talked about action stations being an amazing example of using digital tools. Okay. What did you do? Yeah. Yes, they talked about the importance of the long-term issues, where you tackle the big ones and that are going to have a long-term effect as opposed to short, and there's going to be another conversation later. And what did this group... Yeah. Connection between generations and making that better. Okay, so when people say that it's poor people's fault that they're poor, then what are the sentences they're using so that James can mock them when they use those sentences? Okay, we talked to that group here. What did you think was important? Okay, so you're raising the question of political leadership, and there's a fire, but the political leaders don't have a fire hose. So in fact, the political leadership is saying there is no fire. Is that what you're... Not proven. It is not proven that there is a fire out there that I would need to fight if I had a fire hose. Yes. Yep. The difficulty of maintaining emotional resilience when the problems are huge and overwhelming, and how do you work out where to make that entry point and make a difference? And people are doing it by creating more time in their lives to community volunteer, presumably because that grassroots connection is satisfying and you feel that you've done something, and that helps the emotional resilience. Well, that's a good question. What's the point of working if there's not going to be a future in 10, 20, 30 years? Anything this group wants to... It's like that old song that baby boomers and older will remember about whistling when you feel afraid, isn't that it? You whistle a happy tune and then you feel okay. It's the habit follows. Well, I've really enjoyed today. Thank you very much. It was so good to hear that. But Graham is going to thank you properly. And thank you, everyone, for your contributions. It was really interesting to see what other people picked up as what was important for them.
So I just want to talk really quickly on the emotional resilience question, because I did touch upon it before. But this emotional resilience is something that we need our young people to develop. And it's about, the reason I said don't get overwhelmed, just focus on the thing that you can do, is because it's really hard not to get overwhelmed when it feels like everything is pushing on you and you don't know where to go and you don't know what impact to make and how to make it. That's why I say just focus on what lights you up, focus on what you're really passionate about, and trust that we're not alone, we're not working alone in this. We're all part of a broader team across Aotearoa, across the world. So we're not alone. Just focus on the thing that you like, because this is absolutely a thing that is affecting a lot of my friends and even me sometimes. You know, how can I make an impact? Just focus on the little bit that you can impact in New Zealand, whether it's in New Zealand, maybe even internationally. Conversations shift things. So just focus on that little bit. It's enough.
Thank you very much. Personally, I blame the baby boomers. Those of us who were born before the baby boomers, we didn't muck up the world. It's you lot that did it. I remember asking Grasshopper once. Anybody remember Grasshopper? They used to sort of ride a unicycle in the streets of Wellington. Not many. Oh. He was talking about how he was really one of the people who lived, who knew and lived and worked with the homeless people in Wellington, because he was one of them. And I said, oh, I wish I should be doing... He said, no, you couldn't. There's no way you could do anything for them. You've got to work with the people that you know, that you can influence. That's a really important thing, isn't it? And support others who are doing it in other places. You've got a great strategy. You've got great analysis. I think I was very impressed with your analyses. It's always been a very important thing. We used to do workshops in structural analysis, and the poor got it quickly, the rich resisted all the way. Because, you know, in Paulo Freire's sort of style, it's like that. Also, women, you got it much more quickly than men. And I'm just excited that I came today and that you have all this energy. And you just, sometimes we thought, you know, who's going to carry on when we've finished? You know, I used to be in Waitangi, you know, network doing racism, anti-racism stuff. Where are the young people? They're not joining us. Well, that's because we did our thing and the next lot come along and are doing their thing. And you're doing that. So we are so excited about this. And I think that our job is to get out there and flourish ourselves and encourage society to become one which allows everybody to flourish. It's a wonderful theme, flourishing, and it's about growing, isn't it? So let's make this, from today, go out and grow the seeds, grow the plants, the seeds that you've planted today. We want to say a big thank you for sharing what you are doing as well as what you are thinking. It's very exciting for us and very encouraging, and we will do what we can to keep supporting you and doing our own thing, because this is now definitely the global village thing, and we used to be operating in pockets because we couldn't communicate. I lived in Africa for 5 years working there. We got once a week, we got our email. That was how often we could communicate. In 5 years, we twice spoke with people at home by a telephone. Very different today. Morgan, Laura and Christina, you have totally overwhelmed us and excited us. And we just want to say, keep it up and don't burn yourselves out. Make sure you've got the right support systems for you. Okay? Thank you very much on behalf of St Andrew's Trust.